Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining me right now, Henny Stradman. He's a professor of international law at the University of Johannesburg, and he holds a South African research chair in international law. We're looking at US-South Africa relations. Good morning, Professor Stradham. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm well, thank you, and I hope you too.
Yes, well, we make do. One foot in front of the other some days. Can we please unpack the refugee status that the United States is offering South African Afrikaners? What does that mean? I mean, I understand the offer, but what does that actually mean for South Africans who would take it up? I mean,
As I understand it, that the refugee option has now been raised in the context of the number of farmers working annually in the United States. There are about 10,000 of them crossing over to the United States to work on farms. And for different periods of time. And the idea is to, this refugee option will facilitate making their stay there permanently. So many of them have already inquired about the process to be followed. But it's not a general thing that all Afrikaners can apply for it. I'm talking about this group of farmers working there on an annual basis. So they have. There was a report this morning in the media on inquiries they made in order under the new refugee option to make it more permanently for them to stay there and work there. So we have to ask the question: why is it necessary for them to consider this option? It is because of conditions, farming conditions generally in South Africa. It's not only politically, but I think economically and so on. Also weather issues that make it maybe a better prospect for this group of people to consider this refugee status option.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I know that there are projects where South African farmers of all colors, actually, are starting up farms in different countries. It's not specifically Afrikaners, right? I think that the only one was where it was specifically Afrikaners was in Argentina. I think.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's not a situation unique to South Africa and America. I mean, there are lots of farmers in Georgia for many, many years.
Yes.
And South African farmers have moved into Africa. You know, it's a worldwide phenomenon. But this has now become a US-South Africa issue because of the latest announcements by Mr. Trump concerning suspending aid and all of that, and the issue with the Expropriation Act. So it has become concentrated in that context. But, I mean, it's not something unique.
Yeah, it's very interesting that it's all around this expropriation without compensation.
Yeah.
I mean, a judge explained it to me as follows. He said, there's the spirit of the law and there's the letter of the law. Actually, in the other way. He said, there's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And before you enforce a law, you have to look at both. And this law was enacted in order to right the wrongs of the past where people, specifically farm workers, were paid in, we see it in the Cape Winelands, where they're paid in alcohol and they're allowed to live on the land and then, and generations, and that's their compensation. And that needs to be righted. What's your thought on that?
Well, the Expropriation Act is not actually focused on acquiring farmland. It's generally about the redistribution of land. And if you look at what the Act says and which types of land are targeted, then that will become clear. It's not targeting agricultural land alone. It's targeting, for instance, land in possession of the state. And it is targeting unused land, where there's no economic activity or farming activity going on that land, to take control over that land and redistribute it to those in need of land. So it is certainly not a piece of legislation that's focusing on obtaining farms and in the least productive farms. So, and I think that's a misconception about the Act.
Okay,
or one of them.
Professor Stratum, didn't Zimbabwe have something about unused land, that if land was unused, the government could go and take it over?
It's not only unused land; they took over productive,
yes,
productive land, and they gave it to Mugabe, gave it to his cronies, and to his generals in the army. He didn't go to the people. Some have, but I mean, by and large, that land grab, and it was without compensation. We should be reminded of that. And in our case, there are very strict procedures to be followed before you can take land. There is a right to have or to pay compensation, a duty to pay compensation. But there's also an option for nil compensation, and that is where you have, unproductive land just lying idle. In those instances, it may be a case of not being a duty of government to pay compensation.
All right, and that is where we leave it. Thank you so much. Thank you for unpacking that and just helping the five-year-old in my brain to understand what's happening.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's Professor Henny Stratum. He's a professor of international law at the University of Johannesburg.